Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
She couldn't walk last week and she's run 3:23.
And yet, no matter how shit I feel today and how shit I felt last night, I ran, and again, I've just been saying, times don't matter. Times don't matter, Hole.
But no.
That said, parcel that out, put to one side, because I did run it faster than Ian Beale.
Oh, fuck Ian Beale. I'm joking. Ian Beale seems lovely, but I'm very proud of you for that.
The best sign that I saw being held up. Turns out there were loads of people who held the sign, but when I saw it the first time, I was like, that's genius! And thought it was the first ever time. And it was, if I see you collapse, I'll pause your Garmin.
Oh, nice. I like that.
a little
meme, almost.
Can you see my love bite?
Oh, is it a hydration vest scar?
Got one on either side. As though I've been nibbled by two vampires.
Again, what does the extra 4 miles do that means that you suddenly start having stuff like that?
It's ridiculous. And bum chafe as well.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know that until I got into the shower. I was like, oh.
I've had horrid bum chafe before. And it always feels slightly... How do you apply Body Glide if you want to also apply it to other parts of your body in the future? Because I feel a bit strange just sticking it down there.
You need a bit. You need an applicator, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You do.
Welcome to episode 141 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. It's time for the London Marathon Debrief. At the time of recording, it's the morning after the day before, and I am heavy of limb and of heart. Despite having run a fine time and feeling generally okay throughout, I feel a bit broken. So apologies in advance for a slightly subdued pod. We need to talk about marathon recovery here, which we'll go into more next episode, bearing in mind how blue many of us will feel in the days after a big race, for so many reasons. Holly wants to know all the reasons why she shouldn't do it next year, so I try very hard to explain why. And then hormones. Because of not knowing when my period was due, I was planning to take period delay tablets, but that didn't work out. Either way, the period didn't arrive, which was great, but the result meant that I was running the day before my period. This, as we all know, is the very worst day of the month and has at least served to answer the questions I have had around why I didn't enjoy the day as much as I'd wanted to. On the plus side, I had a lovely stay at the West in London City the night before and managed to actually sleep this time round. And another thing that worked was the mental strategies that I used during the race. It turns out it isn't just your legs that get you round. By the way, do come and join us on Patreon at patreon.com/womensrunning. From just £2 a month, you'll get behind the scenes newsletters, free tickets to monthly live Zooms, and you can hop on to our newest brilliant thing, an exclusive Pod Squad chat room just for patrons to talk all things running and all things not running. It's all yours.
This episode is sponsored by Precision Fuel and Hydration.
That is amazing. Bloody love a bit of Precision Fuel and Hydration, me.
I know you do. But before we talk about you, let's talk about race nutrition for women.
Ooh, yes, let's.
Did you know that if you've stepped up your training, you need to make sure you're eating enough to support it?
Yes, this is very true. If you're doing loads more running and training, don't cut back on carbs at the same time, because energy restriction can do more harm than good. It's a lot to think about.
But the good thing is that the team at Precision Fuel and Hydration have written a blog about how you can prevent underfueling, with loads of info on relative energy deficiency in sport. And we're going to link to it in the show notes.
That is massively helpful.
I know, so helpful. We'd expect nothing less from a company we love.
I know, I've been boring you senseless about PFNH for yonks. I've used the electrolytes and gels for years now. I love the taste of them. And even better than that, I love the way they power me through my long runs.
And we awarded their PH 1500 electrolyte tablets best race nutrition product in last year's Women's Running Product Awards.
Very well deserved it was too. And not only that, but you can use their free fuel and hydration planner at precisionfuelandhydration.com to understand how much carbs, fluid and electrolytes you need to perform at your best in your next race.
And here's the best bit. You can get 15% off their range of fuel and hydration products using the code WR2023. That's WR2023 at precisionfuelandhydration.com.
That is genuinely brilliant. I'm going to buy in bulk so that I've got loads for all my races and training.
Do you think that might be able to persuade me to stop fueling on Haribo alone?
I'm sure you can combine the two.
Is that a nutritionist-approved fueling strategy?
No, it's not. Don't quote me.
Wrote some notes on keep notes on the train yesterday so that I'd remember everything, because it was all disappearing out of my head very quickly.
How are your legs? Or do you want to save everything to talk about on the pod? Well, actually, technically, we are recording, but
we're recording.
A low energy start.
It's going to be a low energy start. I have zero energy. I have a horrible feeling that this is going to be a bit of an emotional one. So I just
don't
feel
have a
like
horrible
I need to...
feeling. That's fine.
You're allowed to weep, don't we?
We do. And it's an emotional thing. I was almost weeping watching everything. My nearly weeps were watching Sifan Hassan do her thing. Oh
that
my
was
gosh.
Amazing.
It was amazing.
That was
Even
amazing.
Doug got into it for her and came and watched and was getting into it.
Her face when she finished. It's incredible.
I had a little weep for Mo Farah in his interview afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oh,
I
he was
so
just,
much.
It was lovely. It was just he was obviously it wasn't quite what he had hoped. It was a few minutes outside of what he'd hoped for.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there must be a slightly devastating feeling of that being your last chance, your last one.
Yeah.
But he was also just smiley and cheery and optimistic and stuff as usual. And it made my heart go and my lip wobble a little bit. And then my other nearly weep was watching you. I watched you almost just like I was watching the telly on my phone, watching you go from a sort of halfway from mile 24 and a half.
Yeah.
And then I was just watching your little blob go, and it was, and I got overexcited at one point actually, because you flicked to the end and then you flicked back again.
Oh, did
with
I?
With the sat nav or whatever it's called.
Oh, and, yeah.
And so it looked like you'd finished, and I was just about to text you, and thank God I waited, because imagine if you got a thing through on your Garmin going, "You've done it," and you still had a mile to go. But. Tell me all from your perspective.
Oh, God.
That was me sitting on my sofa watching all of that.
I wish I'd been sitting. My throat is gone.
Oh, it has.
Yeah, it's I've been really surprised, actually, kind of working backwards forwards. I've been really surprised at how absolutely broken I feel today.
You're a shell of a woman.
Yeah, an absolute husk. Like everything is... Like I actually don't really understand it. I remember last time when I did it in October that I had quite significant DOMS for a couple of days. But I also remember, do you remember 2 weeks after that, we were running the half marathon? So I remember going for a run on about Wednesday or Thursday or something to just kind of tick over. And Like, there's no way I can't imagine. I actually, at this moment in time, I can't imagine going for a run ever. I feel so broken. Like, and the other thing that I can't understand is, like, so 3 weeks ago, I went on my longest training run, which was 22 miles. And I came back and I cooked lunch for the kids and I cleaned the bathroom.
I know, isn't it weird? And I was literally thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about when we did Paris. It was actually when I had my awful, awful DOMS from doing like one small HIIT class the other day. And I was like, oh God, I haven't had them this bad since the Paris half. And I was thinking exactly the same. I was like, but isn't that weird that, like, you've obviously Paris half was a bit different in that my training was rather lacking, but Bath half before that, it was the same thing, completely broomstick legged for 2 or 3 days. But the previous weekend, I'd done 10 or 11 miles and I was fine. And I just got on with life. What is that? Why is that a thing?
What did that extra 4 miles do? And also the pain. I'll go to the actual run in a bit, but the pain of running the damn thing was so much more. Like, my pace was the same, if not even slower than I was doing it when I did my long training run. But the pain was just, it was insane. But anyway, so today, to go from like, so last night as I was going to bed, I was like, I took some paracetamol yesterday because my hip, particularly on my left-hand side, I think it was ITB.
Yeah.
That really seized up as I was walking back to the hotel, and then there was quite a lot of walking to do afterwards, which was good. But I had to go to the hotel, pick up my bag, then go to the train station and then get home, kind of thing. So there's lots of walking before sitting on a train, which was a good thing. But as I was walking, the pain was getting worse and worse and worse. And it was all like my left hip. And I could feel as I pressed into the side of my thigh, that all the way down my thigh, I was like, oh, that's really painful. That's ITB. So that really seized up yesterday. But today it's absolutely fucking everything. It's my quads are like blocks.
Are you doing that thing where if you even dreamt of bending your knees slightly, you would just fall to the floor in a heap.
I've got a slightly different setup today because mostly when we do record these pods, embarrassingly enough, I'm sitting on the floor. Just that's just the way that it's been.
Professional broadcasters.
And just before this, I in my kind of slow, depressed, sloth voice said to Dave, you're going to have to do something with my setup. I can't sit on the floor because I can't get down and I can't get up. My quads are killing. My hammies are killing. My calf muscles are killing. My back hurts. I've got a real achy back.
My back always hurts after a race.
It's tense, isn't it?
Yeah.
So my shoulders are hurting. And then I've got like, and then my throat and my lungs, obviously from that. Did you see Josie's message? Because Josie Perry ran it yesterday and she had a really shit.
I did see that she's had a not brilliant time with it and she's really had to battle through, but she finished.
She did finish. She did finish. She's a bloody warrior, but I know that she had to seek some help from, to get some Ventolin or something. And because of her asthma. And I must admit, I was about mile 8 or 10 or something. And I suddenly remembered that I'd not taken my Ventolin. And that sent me in a bit of a spiral. And like, right, so Ventolin, I know I'm all over the place. I'll get there in a minute.
All over the place. It's all natural and whatever.
My Ventolin, for people that don't have asthma, I've had asthma from the age of about 4 or 5 and I've always used Ventolin, but very rarely now. I have very, very mild asthma and I know that lots of people suffer quite badly. And obviously it sounded very much as if Josie suffered horribly yesterday. I'm very fortunate. It seems to be kind of okay. But my Ventolin inhaler has become part of my pre-run ritual. Yeah. So it's the Ventolin, Ventolin is not preventative, it's curative, right? So it's not that, and you do get, there are other kind of asthma pumps that you have that are preventative, and this is not one of them.
Other asthma pumps are available.
They are indeed. And Ventolin actually is a brand name. So salbutamol, right?
Oh, nice.
Thank you. but I've got into this habit of having a couple of puffs before I go for a run. Anyway, totally forgot to do it. I'd remembered everything else, but I forgot to do that. So obviously about March 8-10, when I did remember that, because someone ran past me with an asthma charity vest on, and I was like, oh, shit.
I thought, oh, God, and I've got asthma.
Yeah, I know. And it did send me. Oh. It instantly makes your breathing go funny. But anyway, so I've woken up this morning with, yeah, it just sounds like I've got a bit of a chest infection. Plus I've got, can you see my love bite? I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, is it a hydration vest?
Hydration vest.
Scar.
Got one on either side, no. As though I've been nibbled by two vampires.
Again, what does the extra 4 miles do that means that you suddenly start having stuff like that?
It's ridiculous. And bum chafe as well.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know that until I got into the shower. I was like, oh.
I've had horrid bum chafe before. And it always feels great. Slightly, how do you apply Body Glide if you want to also apply it to other parts of your body in the future? Because I feel a bit strange just sticking it down there.
You need a bit. You need an applicator, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You do.
And I didn't put on any Body Glide, but that's because I've never used, I hadn't used Body Glide in this training block at all. I hadn't used any of that.
You're not really a chafy person, are you, to be fair? Because you wear quite a lot of clothes.
Because I wear so many clothes. Yeah. So normally I'm fine. So I'm not going to get the thigh thing because I'm obviously clad top to toe. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, shall I bore you senseless? And
oh, please
try
do.
Not to get emotional.
I can't wait to hear about it. I'm so proud. I'm so proud of all the general pod squad as well.
Like, oh, me too.
Seeing messages come in from people on Patreon and stuff and social media bits over the weekend.
Yeah.
It's just so, I'm so in awe of everyone who runs a marathon. And I just have a little part of my soul where, you know, when the elite bit is finished and they'll sort of show some clips with kind of, I don't know, like Coldplay in the background or something while people are running.
Don't.
And that always gives me a wobbly lip. And that did make me be like, I'd really, really like to do this. But it just, but tell me why I shouldn't. Go on. Let's hear the tale.
Oh, well, one reason would be because I feel terrible today. And I feel like not just physically terrible. I feel emotionally completely drained, totally fucked. I haven't come back and thought, yeah, I'm going to sign up for this. Like on the train on the way back, I had a text from a friend of the pod who shall remain nameless, who I'd been speaking to because she had been unable to do the London Marathon, and I had put the idea into her head a couple of weeks ago of the New York Marathon, and so she texted as I was on the train saying, right, I'm well up for it. Do you fancy it? And I haven't replied.
No, because, ignore. Ghost.
But I would. that's my usual thing, right? That is so my usual thing on WhatsApp. But 6 months ago, when I did the London Marathon in 22, I would have been all over that shit. I feel this one, for some reason, it feels like it's drained me. I feel completely emotionally fucked. My proviso on that is that I know that I have a period due, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't happened. And it could happen tomorrow. And then I'll be going, ah.
Did you take those things?
No, they never turned up. And I didn't realize until I was on the train on the way to London. And I was like, well, they never turned up. That's just shit. You know, it's just post or whatever. And then actually I checked through my emails and there was a notification saying we didn't send them to you because I'd clicked an answer wrong, basically.
Oh, really?
And because ostensibly a sort of a medical professional looks over your application, they sort of said, no, you said this, so we couldn't send them to you. So I was like, oh. Anyway, okay. It was fine. I didn't actually have a period on the day. So that was and that's the big thing, isn't it? Physically, it's like not wanting to bleed on the day because of all the other stuff you then have to worry about.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that to worry about. But I think because I'm due, I'm emotionally not in the best of places at all, which is, you know, week before my period, I'm just always, you know, a mixture of being a total cow and just very upset.
I think a race gives you a hangover as well in a weird way. Like, you know, we were discussing anxiety last week because I'd had that really overexciting house party. I think there is something to be said for the race hangover, that obviously physically you feel shit like you would in a hangover, but also there's this sort of emotional thing that I think that kicks in sort of 24 to 36 hours after you've done it, where it's like you've been riding the wahey, 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 and then it kind of suddenly goes, your adrenaline drops, you've done that bit now, you know, your brain's had all its lovely endorphins from the fact that you've done this run, and then you start to realize that you can't walk properly and you've been looking forward to this big thing, or not necessarily looking forward, but you know, you've had this thing in mind and now it's done and you feel a bit sort of lost. And also as someone who loves attention, you've had lots of lovely attention and then no one gives shit about you anymore because you're not doing a big race anymore. There's a lot of things I think that make it sort of feel like that emotional hangover thing.
That
you just feel so shit the day.
All of that is so true. All of that is so true. I was low yesterday as soon as I'd finished, really, but my serotonin was being massaged upwards by the messages and the you know, the likes.
Did you get belief boosters?
Now, right,
I sent you a couple, and we've had a few people who emailed in to say they sent you belief boosters.
So apparently, I saw, and but no, nothing came through, and I don't really understand where I would have seen them. I've looked on the app, but apparently they're going to send me an email today.
Yeah, that's where
listed. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that because, that'd be lovely.
Oh, good. Yeah, that will hopefully give you a belief boost. But I think the idea, when I sent it in, the idea on the app is that it says, I'm quite burpy this morning, which isn't ideal for recording a podcast. I was going to say, I think it says that it's supposed to appear towards the halfway point or on the big, do you call it a gantry?
I think you could definitely call it again. The bit that you run under at the end.
Yeah, bit that you run under at the end. It's supposed to appear there. But I did think, as I was sending it in, I was like, I'd sent both of them, I'd sent just after the halfway point, because I was like, that's when she's going to need a belief booster. But we've missed the chance now for that, because it was supposed to happen before the halfway point. And then I thought, would you in a million years be looking at said gantry for a message from someone? No, you're probably just thinking, get me across the finish line.
I saw it. Well, I remember because they started it last year, didn't they? And so I did. I remember not looking at it at all last year. And this year I did look at some of the messages as I was coming up, because I was much more kind of engaged with the, I think because I now knew that that was definitely the finish line, whereas last year I was a bit unsure.
You were slightly confused. I forgot about that.
They still haven't put the word fucking finish on it. They still need to work on that. It's quite a small thing. So I think hopefully I'll get an email later on today. So that will definitely top me up for sure. Because absolutely, it's been amazing following everyone else. You know, it's been lovely. Like, my entire feed has just been people with their medals, and it's been very, very lovely.
Did I notice that you did quite well with your time? Were you quite pleased?
My time was, it was fine.
I thought it was 1 minute less than last year.
I think it was, Strava said, well done on your second fastest time on this route. And I was like, it's the second time I've done it, Strava.
Oh, Strava, fuck off. I thought it looked like you were slightly faster than last year. I mean, I wasn't even going to mention it because who cares?
But it's fine. Who cares? But time-wise, I was aiming for roughly the same, and I did it in roughly the same.
Yeah.
So Strava and London Marathon both say that I did it in 4:33. It's really tricky to figure it out, because last year I ran over 27 miles because I must have been all over the fucking
shop.
That's
what I saw. So a girl that I went to primary school with, I think, you know a person who pops up on your Facebook and you go, who? she's one of those. And I saw that she does quite a lot of running. That's the only time she ever pops up on my Facebook, is because she's done another race. And this was her fourth or fifth London Marathon. And she'd done 27.3. Yes. And I was like, I would be fuming. That's more than a mile, more than, I know. The psychology that you've got to do to go, like, I spend that, as we well know, for a half marathon, I will go 12 and a bit from the moment that I set off. Yeah. And I think, I wouldn't be able to suddenly hack another mile.
Do you know, because I had that last October when I did it. So... I think it's because I tend to, in many ways, both personally and professionally and politically, veer to the left. And I was running. I know. I did that quite well, didn't I?
Anyway, you did. So that I was running.
I was always running. And I think it's probably to do with the fact that my right leg is slightly longer than my left. I wonder
so
if
So you just spend most of the time running around and around in a circle.
Running around in a circle or trying to find a camber that kind of works that way. Anyway, so I run on the left, and it meant that I'm sort of further away a lot of the time from this blue line. Also, you're given quite a lot of advice before you start running the marathon, which is like, if you're a slower runner, don't keep to that blue line, because there'll be fast runners trying to get their PBs running on the blue line that's dotted out to make sure that you're doing 26.2.
Yeah.
So I was kind of being really conscious of that last time. This time I was like, I want to run the shortest amount of time possible. So I stayed much closer to it. So I
did
was
that
20...
on the Paris one. I was like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go round. I was
one.
Sticking on that. It was green in Paris, I think, wasn't it?
It was green in Paris,
I was just... locked on to the green line.
Exactly. So this, I was definitely
locked on. I think I still ran slightly more than a half. It's just...
Yeah, you probably would have done. Yeah. So I stayed as true as I possibly could to it. So I still did more than 26.2, but it was only like 26.5 or something. But I remember how difficult that was last October when I was almost a mile out or over a mile out, because my Garmin would buzz to say you're on 26 and I would just be passing under the 25 mark, for instance. And that's really not only is it deflating, but it really threw my fueling a bit.
Yeah, because
year,
which
I was like,
do you go on? Which do you go
exactly.
on? Yeah, if you're, so in the if end, you're basing your gels on that, then it's like, do I go? I didn't look at my... Well, I had a bit of a weird one actually last time when I did Paris, but sorry, this is not about that, but with my Garmin, because I forgot to start it until half a mile in. So actually it was kind of pretty bang on in the end. It kind of caught
up. Oh, that's good.
And then it was all right. But I don't know what I would do there. I'd be really confused. God, and how do you mentally reward yourself?
Exactly. You know? So in the end, I had to kind of stick to, I stuck firmly this time, which I don't think I did last time, to just using the mile markers as my markers for gels. But the other thing that the Garmin, where it kind of doesn't quite work, is not that it doesn't work with judging your pace and time and stuff, because it really is, but the other thing that it doesn't quite work is when you're going through Canary Wharf, because of the really, really, and everyone talks about this, but because of the massive high buildings, GPS gets completely thrown. So when you're checking your pace and trying desperately to be a certain pace, you can't tell. So there was a bit while I was running through there where I was really trying to stick to kind of like, 10 to 10:20 a mile. And going through Canary Wharf, it was suddenly 11, 12, 9. It was all over the shop.
Yeah.
And there was... There's a bit over there. I'm running ahead of myself yet again, but there was a bit after that, after Canary Wharf, there was a bit that was actually very, very lovely, a kind of a nice uplifting part.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as I was running that bit that it was quite clear. There was not too many runners around me. It was fine. I was kind of in that mile not having a bad time.
Mm.
But I was thinking, am I actually moving?
Maybe that's why you're
like
having quite a nice time.
And because my GPS was off completely, and I was like, I don't know if I'm I could I don't know I feel like I'm on a treadmill. It's very strange.
That's
but
weird.
Right, okay, so right, Hall,
oh
story.
Yeah, tell me your
I'll
tell
me
your
story.
Yeah, your tidbits.
Right, I haven't even got my medal. I'll show you my medal in a minute.
Oh, I'd love to see your medal.
Where is my medal? Oh, I gave it to the kids. Right.
Such a self, you're so selfless.
I know, I am.
Yeah.
Didn't even pick up a goodie bag. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So, right. As I was going, so these are the things I'm going to try and remember. So, because I wrote loads of notes. I'm not going to just read the notes, but this is what I'm trying to. So on Friday, so before the weekend, I've just put a little note here to remind myself that I was really, really nervous leading up to this. But a lot of the reason why I was feeling really nervous is because I kept on telling people that I felt really nervous.
You slightly psyched yourself into nervousness. Yeah.
Totally. I was actually feeling okay. And I was feeling sort of fine about it. But yeah, I had loads of people, really, really well-meaning, lovely people, asking me how I was feeling, how I was prepped and all that kind of thing. And I was just so used to typing. I'm really nervous that I would do that.
So and
every time
going,
I typed it.
I'm really nervous. Like when you go, lol.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Well, you know, we do actually film this now, but I don't know whether you'll see that bit, but that was me pulling a very, very serious straight face and not lolling at all.
Not lolling, yeah.
Yeah, I completely get what you mean. I was also just wondering about what we were talking about with the why do you feel so crap after a race compared to like running a similar amount of time as in your training runs?
Yeah.
Is there something to do with how you've psyched yourself up for it, that something in the adrenaline makes you more knackered? Because I will still get nervous before doing a long training run. I don't know whether that's normal, but I still get quite like, oh, how am I going to do 10 miles? But I think like there's something about the race that is a whole different kettle of fish with nerves, isn't it? Even if it's a virtual one, it's like, oh, all this pressure and I've got to do this thing and I can't just go, oh, this isn't the day for it, and turn around and go home or whatever. I have to do it. But I wonder if there's an adrenaline dip because of that.
Yeah, I think that sounds as though that's highly likely. I mean, yeah, I've woken up in the shittest mood today. So... Yeah, I'm not going to be fun on this podcast.
Don't worry, you don't have to be fun. I'm gonna dig deep into your hopes, dreams, and fears in a minute. But I want you to read me the rest of your list.
Okay, you're gonna winkle it out of me, no matter what. I was feeling nervous, but self-made nerves. And then, so Saturday I travelled up by train to go and stay at the West in London City.
Yeah,
which is the hotel.
Tell me about
that
the hotel bit, because it looked quite nice.
I must admit, like the kids were being a pain in the ass, and I just had been looking forward to this. That was the thing that I kept on not saying to people, was that, yeah, okay, so I had some nerves and stuff, but what I was really looking forward to was a night on my own in a really very nice hotel.
Yeah.
And a massive great bed. And I was just really looking forward to it. But I had a little niggle at the back of my head, which was the last time that I stayed there in October.
You didn't sleep more than about 2.5 minutes, did you?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Better this time?
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Oh, good.
There was even a bit where I woke up, and I think it was probably about 1 or 2 in the morning that I woke up, and I remember congratulating myself going, well, I've definitely slept. So I don't care if it's 1 or 2 in the morning. At least I've slept. But I then did go back to sleep. So I had a decent night's sleep and I had a nice meal there the night before. And it was a very, very lovely kind of runner's centric sort of package where you turn up and they had this stuff which I really didn't take advantage of. But when I turned up to my room, they'd left like a bunch of kind of gels and things like that and a nice little welcome note, which is very sweet. But there was also, they do this stuff where they hire out a hypervolt.
Oh, a massage gun.
That's the one.
Yes.
See, I've lost all words today.
That's
so
okay.
They had a massage gun. They had a massage gun that you could use. And they had like a yoga mat and some blocks and stuff like
that. That's amazing.
I know. So if I was going to do it again, if I could ever like, I don't know.
Be asked.
If I was ever, yeah, be asked. But if I was ever going to do it again, I'd want to stay there 2 nights, because then the second night you were staying there, not only could you take advantage of the fact that they were giving out free champagne to people that flashed their medals, but you could then go back to your room and like hypervolt your butt you know, and, yeah, and do massage.
Hypervolt yourself into oblivion.
So you could, except I don't think it's Hypervolt. I think that's actually a brand name, isn't it?
That
so
is a brand name. Others are available. Theragun yourself.
Yeah,
Recover Pro yourself.
Hyper Ice. Anyway, yeah, so it was a massage gun. And so you could have done that, and then you could have had a little stretch out on this lovely yoga mat and these blocks and stuff. Anyway, it was all like really, really
That's
lovely.
Lush.
And the bed was like 6 foot wide. I mean,
I love that.
Proper gorgeous. So that was really nice. And so I had my pasta supper and then got into bed and ate a Whisper bar, which was rather nice, which I'd bought with me. And watched Mean Girls.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know, it was great.
That sounds like the best
time.
Bit.
It was the best bit.
Yeah.
I loved it. And then I guess what was really great was that, so the following day, I remember last October, which was my first kind of in-person London Marathon, that all the night before I was plotting and planning and getting really stressed. Oh, there was also a train strike, I think, last year, which kind of had added to the concerns about travel and things like that. But this year it was so nice to know exactly what I was doing, know where I was going. You know, I was able to kind of just kind of like not think about it too much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I knew I was going to set my alarm for 6:30. I knew I was going to go and have breakfast, and then I'd come back and try and have about 17 poos. And then
you know the drill a bit more.
I know the drill.
Yeah.
And then go. And I knew that because I was really lucky to have got this place from London Marathon, that they give you hospitality at the start and finish. So it meant that I could go to the hospitality tent at the beginning, and it's nice to turn up super early because you're in the kind of the warm, there's loos there. This feels very, very privileged. So I am.
That's okay. I think it's, you know, I'm quite interested. This is the glam bit that we're all interested to hear about. The rest of us riffraff will use a smelly portaloo. But you encountered Ian Beale there, am I right?
I did. So last year,
Chris Evans standing in front and stuff of Chris last Evans, year. Right? Tell me about the glam bits. Who was in the VIP?
Okay, so the only famous person that I spoke to for 1 second was when I was saying, so Sharifa was there doing some little kind of reels and things. So we had a hug, and she was, at the time that we had a hug, she was talking to Rob Deering, the comedian. And she said, oh, do you know Rob? And I said, hi. And he said, I'm just going to go and have a pee.
Okay.
So that's what I got out of him. But then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, wasn't he the one that slammed a door in my face when we were at the National Running Show last year? And I think he probably was. So I just don't think he likes me.
Oh, Esther, he's not a fan.
I don't think
he's not a fan of your comedic stylings.
No, I don't think he is. But basically, it's a huge marquee.
I can't picture him. Will you bear with me if I just quickly Google what he looks like?
He looks a bit like the other comedian that looks a bit like him.
I was just thinking about Rob Beckett. Oh my God, he actually does look a bit like Rob Beckett.
That's what I mean. Don't you remember? Because I kind of slagged off Rob Beckett and then thought, oh no, hang on. Rob Beckett isn't a runner, but Rob Deering is. So it must have been Rob Deering actually on the show.
Yes, because
he does a podcast with...
All of his pictures are him running, and I think we talked about him last time, and we referred to him as that Rob comedian with the teeth.
Yeah.
And actually, there are two.
There are two of those.
Yeah. I know who you mean. Yes.
Yes. So, him.
Okay. I'm back.
So,
in the
he
room.
Was there. He was there. Chris Evans was there with his wife and entourage and Vassos and all of that lot. Vassos dressed as a minion.
He did that last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he did it again.
He's big into that. He's a big fan of the Minion films and and merch.
Exactly. who else is there? Oh, so basically there was all of that kind of Babs Army stuff, you know.
For Barbara Windsor.
Her husband, widower. Barbara's husband and this kind of team of people, mostly from EastEnders, but also from other sort of celeb outworks. So there was Sonia. From EastEnders.
Oh my God, Sonia from EastEnders. That is actually iconic. She's such a hun.
I love her.
So she okay. was there. But I didn't speak to any of these people. I was just sort of standing.
No, just look at them. That's
them
what I do.
And looking at them. Yeah. And obviously amongst
was
them.
Was Adele
Ian
there?
Beale.
Adele Roberts?
Yes, she was there. She was there.
Sorry, not Adele. I realise when you say Adele, that sounds... Adele Roberts like Adele, was who I was referring to, yeah.
Adele Roberts was definitely there. She did a fantastic... She did it in 3 hours 30.
Oh, bloody hell.
I know.
That was actually... I didn't tell you that, but, you know, the friend who I was talking about that had run 27.3 or whatever instead.
Yeah.
She was like, on Facebook... I don't know whether she listens to this. I haven't absolutely no idea. I haven't spoken to her for, a very, very long time. But she put... was so gutted that I didn't think I was going to be able to do the London Marathon this year. I had a sore knee at the end of last week that meant that I was really struggling to walk. So totally thought it was going to be a write-off. Really pleased to say, though, managed to get a PB of 3 hours 22 or something. And I was like, oh, fucking hell.
Piss off.
Yeah.
People. Like I did, do you know what?
I really noticed.
They're all arseholes. I noticed rather gratifyingly, actually, on Instagram, and maybe this is because of the people that I choose to follow and stuff, but the people, although my feed was chocker with lots of women holding up their London Marathon medals, it was
no
not
times.
Chocker with PBs.
No, I was
go,
I loved
women.
That.
That's
I
great.
Agree. Go women, there is. I mean, if you're super proud of a PB or a time,
then absolutely you bloody shout about it. From it.
Yeah,
do
yeah,
it.
Yeah. But
do it.
I am very here for I've run the race and I'm really proud of myself, as all you need to put in a social media post or whatever.
Exactly.
You
exactly.
don't need to go, because it does just mean that I looked at that and I had been slightly, you know, listening to the Coldplay, watching people dress as letterboxes, and I'd gone, oh, it would be so amazing to do. And then I saw she put that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, there's no fucking point, is there? I'm not going to do it ever in my life. Why? She couldn't walk last week and she's run 3:23.
And yet, no matter how shit I feel today and how shit I felt last night, I ran and...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Again, I've just been saying times don't matter. Times don't matter, Hole. But,
no.
But that said, parcel that out, put to one side, because I did run it faster than Ian Beale.
Oh, fuck Ian Beale. I'm joking. Ian Beale seems lovely, but I'm very proud of you for that.
I am gutted I didn't get a selfie. I just got a picture of the back of his shirt.
Back of his shirt, yeah.
So, anyway, yeah. So that was all really lovely. And also I bumped into... So I bumped into, you know, the lovely Kate, who I spent most of my time in Gran Canaria with, who works for Runner's World. Mm-hmm. So I bumped into her, didn't realize she was doing it.
Do we get Dave to bleep out Runner's World?
Yeah, bleep out Runner's World. bastards. But she's so lovely. And it was so nice to have a mate. So we had a nice big hug,
and nice.
I mean, she was off to do it in a super speedy time, kind of thing. So that was it. Was, but it was just so lovely to have, you know, when you're having all your nerves of just going, oh, should I have a fourth coffee or should I go for the poo? Or and there's just someone there saying, can you hold my bag and I'll go and get you a banana, that sort of thing. But the other amazing thing about this hospitality tent thing is that it's right on the side of the start line, and they've got like a veranda at the front of it, and you can go out and you can look at the wheelchair setting. I'm going to do a reel later on. Oh, it's a veranda. Mm. So
a veranda heart.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway.
So we were able to go out there and see like all the elites start.
Yeah.
All that kind of thing. So that was great. Me and Kate were out there and we were sort of videoing, you know, the start of the wheelchairs or whatever. And it's all very exciting. And as we were sort of talking, it was all quite busy, we turned around and she almost slammed into Eliud Kipchoge, who with his little entourage, honestly, it was like entourage, because he was there in a Nike tracksuit thing with about 3 or 4 people like flanking him to walk him to do like an interview at the front. And then, and every time he walked anywhere, there were 2 people in front and 2 people behind.
Oh, that's so cool.
Astonishing.
In case he just gets bundled into the back of a van or something.
Yeah, just mobbed, I think. But yeah, but she almost, Kate almost sent him flying. So we're like, oh.
And then he's quite little.
He's tiny.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, interesting. So I was
he's very lovely, isn't he? I was enjoying watching
very
his
nice.
Coverage when I was watching it at home. He's a nice bloke.
He genuinely seems like a really, really nice
bloke.
He does. So that was all really, really nice. And then we, like, the big, huge benefit of being there, and I do understand this is a privilege, is that you don't have to wait in a pen and you can just bundle out and start, not with the elites, although, you know,
that'd be nice.
It'd be nice. But you just bundle out and you can start. So I was supposed to start at 11 and I started much closer to 10, like 10:15 or something. And you just sort of go through a little.
So you can just, so what time did you, in fact, I know it was about 2:30.
Yes, I finished about 2:30. So, yeah. So it was all fine. But so the race itself, so first of all, my Audible packed up. So I specifically downloaded a book I knew that would see me through and would be fun, and I couldn't listen to it. So I had to listen to some other things. I had to kind of make some choices on the fly as I was running. But it was sort of all right. It was okay. But I'm trying to remember. I'm going back to my list here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
I thought you were having a look in your Audible, and I was like, "Shall we expose ourselves?"
No, I shan't.
I'm not going to tell you
because I listen to such shit.
Unless so you're interested in Michelle Visage's autobiography, then you're not going to like what's on my Audible.
I love that. I tell you what I really wanted to listen to was really good. Actually, the Monica Helsley.
Oh, yeah. I saw lots of people reading that whenever the last time we were on a plane was, maybe
I've
Paris.
I got it. That's right. Well, I was reading it at some point, and it's absolutely
you
brilliant.
Reading it.
It's probably me, yeah.
That was who was reading it.
Loved it. It was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. So I wanted to download it and listen to it. Anyway, it didn't work. So, right. Okay. So I'm trying to change over my legs at the moment.
Okay.
Take
your time.
Right. Okay. So these on my list, I've got these little things. The best sign that I saw being held up. Turns out this does actually. There were loads of people held this sign, but when I saw it the first time, I was like, "That's genius!" and thought it was the first ever time. And it was, "If I see you collapse, I'll pause your Garmin."
Oh, nice! I like that.
That's a
little meme almost. Yeah. That's good.
I like that very much. So then basically the run itself, which was sort of okay. Mm-hmm. It was sort of all right. I was aiming for sort of 10-minute-ish miles. And
you nailed that.
I sort of did that.
You did. I was watching your splits and they were very, very good.
It was okay. It was definitely different. And I felt way more uncomfortable than last time. And when I look at it back on Strava against last time, I can see that it is more uncomfortable in the almost the first 3/4 of it or first half to first 3/4 that I PR every split. Every mile is faster than the mile that I did equivalently in October. Mm. And then it switches. So the last sort of third where I'm not doing it as, and there's not a lot in it. It's like, you know, a couple of seconds per mile or whatever, but I definitely felt much more uncomfortable. I was kind of in physical pain, but emotionally from, I remember going over Tower Bridge, which is 12 miles, and thinking, this is really taking a fucking long time.
Yeah.
This is, I'm finding this really quite painful. Like, I still had the same joy at 6 miles when I saw the cutty sock. That was still
I nearly
wonderful.
Sent you a belief booster then. I didn't get amazing. My act together in time.
I love that. And I think there's something there. The crowds are huge at that point. And it's just joyous running around the cutty sock. And it's for me, there's kind of, because I'm Southeast London, there's a real like attachment to it.
Yeah.
And your bones
are home.
Yeah, exactly. So it felt really, really lovely. But the, and also your...
Why is
you're
it
kind
called
of your,
the cutty sock, can I just say?
It's to
what
do...
What a weird name. Can we acknowledge what a strange. Weird name that is?
Isn't it to do with tobacco? I can't remember.
Oh, maybe. Cuttings. But anyway, I don't know.
So as I was... so that's when you're on 6 miles. So you're actually feeling relatively fresh there. And I was trying really, really hard to do exactly what I'd done last year and to kind of pull myself back and not go too far. So I was feeling okay then. But yeah, by 12 miles, I was feeling a bit shit. And then you go into Canary Wharf after Tower Bridge at 12. And oh my God, it was just, I'd forgotten quite how long you are in the kind of the dark lands of London uh-huh. and going around. And even though it's populated now, it's not like it was like when my mum ran it in 84, where you just don't, there's like one person going, who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
There are crowds and there's bands, and the crowds and bands were, I'd say more than last year.
Okay. That
it felt even more populated and stuff, but it's not joyous to look at. You feel very enclosed and you know, you've got a long way to go because you sort of get on there and after about a mile you're suddenly at 13 miles and you don't come out of it. And I think this was awful for me mentally. Mm-hmm. Was you run past people going in the other direction, and I'd forgotten what that mile switchover is, but that someone on a big loudspeaker called it out and was saying, look at these runners, they've got to the 22 mile point, and we were just entering 13. And I was like, oh,
I don't want to hear about that.
Fuck
no.
So that was a really low point. And then I just had to use that jail strategy of blocking the time out, which was okay. But I ripped by about 17 or 18. I had to do it mile by mile. I really had to go like literally running along, just going 18, 18, 18, 18, 18.
Yeah. Oh, you honestly, know. I'm with you. Yeah.
Just awful. And then there was 1 mile and I think it was 15. I missed the mile marker. And I can't remember why, because there are more than just mile markers. There's mile markers, but there's also kilometre markers. Mm. So at some point you get like, you know, a mile marker, then you'll get like a 35 kilometre marker, then you'll get another mile, you know. So sometimes, anyway, so I missed one and that threw me because I kept on looking down at my Garmin and it said 15.4. And I was like, oh, bollocks, am I that far out?
Yeah.
But happily I'd missed it, so... That was quite good. But okay. What was the nicest bit around there was that two of our pod squad were at...
I was going to ask you that, whether you saw any pod squadders.
I didn't see... There were lots... There, I did get a couple of messages.
About Ian Beale. I got distracted by Ian Beale, so I forgot to ask you. Tell me.
Well, I know that there were a couple of people out there and I didn't see people... Yeah, so there were some missed people, but I did see Zeph and Lou. You know,
the lovely we've met them a couple of times.
Yeah. And I'd run into Zeph at the London Expo because she works for Hoka. Mm-hmm. So we'd had a hug there. And she said that she'd be at mile 16 or 17, I think she said. So I was kind of looking out for them. And then it got to kind of mile 17. I was like, I've not seen them. They're not here. Mm-hmm. Or they've moved, or I've missed them or whatever. But then suddenly they were there and they were right next to me. So I just had this big shout of my name just as I ran past from both of them, and I saw both their faces. And that was really uplifting. For at least the next mile, I was like, I had that, and that was really lovely. And then I also saw Sharifa at kind of 22, I think. And again, that was really nice as well. That was really lovely. The really lovely parts... There's two cheer bits, just general cheer bits, which are incredibly uplifting. And one of them is Run Dem Crew.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really loud. It's really colourful. It's just, it's really, really nice. And it's big. There's loads of people there. So that feels really nice. That inspires you to have a bit of a smile. So that felt really nice. And then after that, I think it's after that, you get like Rainbow Row.
I was going to ask you about Rainbow Row because when I was watching the coverage, it looked like there may be a stage and there may have been drag performances going on.
Holly, you would have fucking loved it.
I think I just would have run back and forth around Rainbow Row.
It was amazing. They were playing, I think they were playing Queen. There was definitely a bit where someone played Wham and that really cheered me up. I was like, mate, if you can just play Wham all the way along, I would be really super fucking happy. Anything for George, basically. But Rainbow Row, it was beautiful because it was so, so colourful. It was really long. Mm. So lots of it wasn't just like one kind of cheer. It's just lots of stuff going on. There's lots of colour, lots of excitement, lots of banners, lots of shouting, loads of music. There was someone at one point, we were running, I don't know if this was anything to do with it, but at one point someone had like a kind of like a ticker tape gun thing. So they kind of did a big bang and then all this ticker tape came down on top of us. But
that's lovely. Lots
of us, it was lovely, but lots of us were quite startled.
Ah, and did some people maybe inhale them?
There was a guy next to me who was like, So there was that.
Potential choking hazard, but a lovely sentiment.
Equally, a lovely sentiment was a little bit further on where two people had bubble machines on either side of the road. And that was to do with some kind of cheer wave, I think. And that, you know, from afar, and I'm sure that on camera, that probably looked like a really lovely thing, but it had been raining. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm going into what is just a slippery nightmare.
A fairy liquid swamp. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't think that was a very good idea.
How did you find the weather? Like, what was it like?
It was
because
all
right. Sometimes I mean, running in nasty rain is actually weirdly quite nice, isn't it? Because it's like, it's cool and I don't know, it makes you sort of want to get it over with quicker. I don't know what it is, but I don't mind running in the rain, but it did look very wet.
It was. It was... Yeah, it was. There were bits where it did. We got properly drenched, and that wasn't. It wasn't great, but it was fine. I think the only thing was that, again, in terms of the stuff that they lay on for you as runners, that they still had quite a lot of sort of showers, which when it's warm, it's joyous to run through that. But it did seem surplus to requirements. And you could see that people were trying to get out of the way of it a lot. So I think that was maybe slightly misjudged. But it was just, I think the last 10 miles I think were really painful, really, it felt really slow. My hip started seizing up. And then at mile 20, I ran out of electrolytes. So that was in my water, in my Camelback. And so I had all my gels, but I'd had a stomach cramp at about 17 and, which really made me worried. And it went, but I know that the thing that was making everything kind of work and be okay was to have, to eat the gel, but make sure I was having liquid with it to make sure that it wasn't just sort of sitting at the pit of my stomach. And that sent me into a bit of a panic at mile 20, just going, oh, bollocks, because that's 2 liters that I'd got through. So then I picked up a bottle of water. Mm-hmm. It was a lot. Yeah. I picked up a bottle of water from one of the things. And started having that, but I was so used to having the electrolytes. Anyway, it kind of threw me slightly.
Okay.
And it was okay. And then I had a gulp of Lucozade at another station, maybe about 22, I think.
Oh, Lucozade is the life juice, isn't it?
Yeah, it did. It felt like that. But then, but because I hadn't been training with it, again, that made me feel... I just think anything that I ingested from 22 onwards was going to feel a bit like, not sure about that.
Danger zone. You did say to me, and it was one of my favourite quotes, that you've said in a while, before, when I wished you luck, you text me saying, shitting myself, mainly about shitting myself. I enjoyed that. That made me laugh quite a lot.
Yeah.
So you had slight danger zone.
I had danger zone. And I do think that. But yeah, at mile 17, I definitely, and I, because I remember it specifically being mile 17, because I thought, wasn't mile 17 when I had to run off the towpath and do that whole thing? So I just had
the cursed mile.
The cursed mile. Yeah, exactly. So I was worried about that. But then after that, then I really just had to, I think the phrase is dig deep.
Yes.
So every mile, I just had to be absolutely within that mile and within that sort of section. And I'd forgotten, like, everything seems so fucking long. Mm. Everything is so long. Like, you see Big Ben and it's like, that's fucking miles away. And you just have to keep on running and running and running towards it. And then when you get to it, you think, well, I must be almost there, right? You know, crowds are bigger. And
yeah.
And it's still, you're still like at mile 25 or 24 and a bit or something. Anyway, it just keeps on. It's like those weird cameras where everything gets distorted and you're sort of standing there and then everything goes in the background. And it's like, that's how it feels. Everything's just really wrong. And I just, but I did it and it was fine, but it did just feel, it felt definitely more physically painful, emotionally harder. I felt less uplifted by it. But
I'm so sorry. I was trying to dig into what I wanted to pick in your brain about, and I'm doing a horrid movement like I'm peeling Esther's brain apart, was why do we do it when it's horrible?
Yeah.
And I guess I was just sort of thinking about that because I was thinking about, it feels like it was quite tough for quite a lot of people this time around. And there are definitely pod squadders that I've seen and fellow runners and stuff that I've seen on social media who have brilliant runs. I'm really proud of lots of people who did it for the first time and absolutely smashed it and ran their race and went at their pace and were really pleased with how it all went and are probably just riding high still before the hangover. but obviously, we talked a bit about Josie. That, you know, it felt like there were quite a few of our friends and stuff who had a tough old run. And I was I was thinking about what is it that makes us still do it even when it's like that? Because there's something, isn't there?
I guess it's, I don't know. I mean, it's the goal. Centric nature of it that you know, you have that thing, but it's, you know, it's like Christmas or a birthday or anything. It's having something to aim for, but it's supposed to be about how you how you feel afterwards. And
you just feel like you slightly missed out on that a little bit this time.
A little bit. I mean, it was lovely to stop, don't get me wrong, that was really nice, and it was lovely to get my medal, and I did feel choked up. And
did you have snacks that you were really excited about?
Not hugely. I did. I think that was, I felt very jealous of other people. I saw a friend on Instagram after she'd finished and she went and had a burger and chips. And I was like, oh, I really want to do that. But I was rushing so hard to get to Paddington and I didn't have anyone to, like, my dad met me at the end, but he was going home. So it was like, I didn't have anyone to
go woohoo with.
To be with. Yeah. And I think one thing that didn't help as well was I came back home. So long fucking journey, packed fucking train, really unpleasant, you know. And then I get home and I got home at precisely the wrong time, like about 7:30. And the kids were kind of in the sort of slight witching hour.
The arsenic hour, my dad used to call that, which is
the arsenic hour.
Horrid.
It's great.
But, yeah, but, it's
my
quite
God.
A good description.
Very apt. And Felix was in the middle of her second wind. So she was like a little wind-up bunny. Mm. And Ted was faking depression up in the bedroom.
Mm.
And, you know, Dave, with the best will in the world, was just keen for me to be home. So he wasn't single parenting. And because I live in a family of two small kids and a grown up that doesn't like running, it just felt very un celebratory.
Yeah.
So I think that felt very, very deflating to come back to a house that was like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the best thing I should have done would be come back, and we should have recorded the podcast last night.
Oh, we should have done. We should have gone for a bloody pint last night, shouldn't we?
Should have gone for a pint.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been one of those. So it just, yeah, it feels, and I definitely felt I had a moment where this morning I was taking the kids to school and there were a couple of lovely parents who knew that I was doing it, and two women, and they separately asked me, and both times I had to really hold myself together because I felt very, very, very weepy this morning. I sort of feel a bit better now. I haven't
yeah tired, so. Do you feel a pressure that as a woman in sport, as a professional athlete, yeah, do you feel like you have to go, oh my goodness, that was the best run ever, I killed it, and I love running so much every time you run?
Yes and no. I think I feel like I have to do it in print. I feel like I can be honest here.
Yeah, you can. I was going to say, because we all love you and just want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, and it wasn't disastrous. I didn't have, you know, I didn't fall over.
No, sometimes it's just
Thompson fell over.
Did she?
Yeah, it was just, so I didn't fall over. I didn't have a horrible time. I didn't have to like seek any kind of medical help. I do feel ravaged today.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's probably quite normal. So I just feel really sad about it. But then I think that's, I mean, as I say, and as I said at the beginning, I think that might be a hormonal issue as much.
Yeah,
as
and you is. Have had a blood, yeah, hormonal things, running hangover, run over, rung over.
Yeah.
We'll workshop it. And then the whole thing of the fact that, like, this time round, if you compare your experience to last year, which I'm sure it's very easy to do, even though it's not it's not last year, it's not the same, it's a completely different kettle of fish, but I understand how easy it must be to think, oh, well, I did this a few months ago, it was this. But you have had a much, much more difficult training experience. You have also had lots and lots more stress going on in your life. And it's also not your first one, because I think it's like we were saying, I don't think that you do one and done with marathons. I think there are lots of ways to keep yourself motivated if you want to do more or whatever, or you might enjoy them if you're mentally disturbed. But I think there must be a real Christmas/birthday thing about you're doing your first marathon.
Oh God, yeah.
It's you know, it's only been 6 months, and
you're right.
And you're already doing another one. I mean, if you had a birthday in 6 months, I know you, and you would be like, oh, not a bloody birthday again. I've just had one 6 months. You would.
I know, I would be, yeah. So. I've had enough of these. That is true. I do remember, I can't remember who it was that said to me, but someone that had run a lot of marathons said to me ahead of October, said, oh, I'm really jealous of you because we were both running it. I'm really jealous because this is your first one and you never get to repeat the first one again. And she's absolutely right. The first time it has made me not want to do it again.
Leave it for a bit. Don't worry. You have got a marathon coming up, but it will be such a different experience.
Oh, a very different experience.
You know, you don't feel down on yourself because you are quite literally doing a marathon again in a few months' time. But it's going to be one that whole different kettle of fish, no pressure. I've said kettle of fucking fish so many times this episode. but it doesn't mean anything. But it will be a whole different experience, and you know that's something that you can very much take at your own pace, and you will Jeff, and it will be fine.
Exactly. So, exactly that. Yeah. I'm not overly concerned about doing London again. I might do, but it's not something I feel like I like after I did it the first time, I was like, I want to do this every single year. That's how I felt about it. I was so, so desperate to do it again because I loved it so much. And this time, it's not that I didn't love it, and it's not that anything went bad. I can't really put my finger on why I feel so kind of glum, but I think it's all the things that you've mentioned. It's just, yeah, it's hormonal. I've got the kind of the day after blues sort of thing, although they seem to kind of crack on fairly early on post race. But you know, I think living vicariously through the other people that were also doing it, that was the real joy for me, was to see everyone else on the gram, and the messages I got were just incredible. I couldn't even keep on top of them, and people were so lovely and said the nicest things. They was just so, it was really quite overwhelming, but in a really, really nice way.
Yeah. There have been so many, so many Instagram messages that I saw for you, but we've also had lots of emails in from pod squadders. They've been chatting away on the Patreon Discord chat, which if you're not on the Discord chat, you're only getting half the story. and yeah, it has been a huge amount of lovely loveliness. And I think that's always a nice, a silver lining, isn't it? But you're so right. I think sometimes it's just, and just because you felt last year like you wanted to do it every year, and this year you feel like you would never like to do it again, you'd like to undo a marathon rather than do another one. I think it doesn't mean that either of those are true. They're just thoughts that you had about each one. You know, like I'm sure there'll be races where you probably will do more marathons. You might even do more London marathons. And I'm sure there'll be others that you go, that was bloody brilliant, I love it so much. And there'll be others where you go, oh, that was really hard. And it's just your interpretation of different experiences that are different.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where you know, if you follow runners on Instagram and you see people that have done lots of London marathons before, you sort of think that you feel that you need to feel a certain way, or that you will feel a certain way.
Yeah, but it's not set in stone, and it doesn't, and it's not a prescriptive thing. Like just because you've had a good London marathon doesn't mean you love London marathons, and just because you've had a bad one doesn't mean you hate them. And it's just your body and your brain and how you dealt with running 26 miles on that day. And there'll be other times that your brain will get to form different opinions on that experience. I'm proud of you, and you did it. And that I'm sure looking back on this one, you'll be most proud of this one eventually when the cloud has lifted.
Yeah,
a bit.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because
in a few days
when pushed I can through.
It did feel like that's actually a very good use of words, because it did feel like pushing.
Mm-hmm.
It felt really hard though. Do you know what one thing that was quite uplifting was, a couple of days before I did it, I had an email from Tasha Akers, who does earth runs, and she sent a very, very lovely message wishing me luck and stuff. And one thing she said was, because I think this had happened to her, she said, remember, if you get overtaken by a rhino, rhinos move really fucking fast. And I remembered that. And halfway through, I was overtaken by a fucking rhino.
No, you weren't. Oh, my God. Oh, let's talk about that, because that was actually one of my highlights of your last London Marathon experience was telephone box bloke, six people in a fruit basket. Who did you see this time? Were there any corkers? Oh,
there were some nice ones, but there wasn't quite as many. It didn't feel like maybe I just wasn't in the right crowd.
Maybe because you started a bit earlier this year.
Maybe
you
started a bit earlier.
You were with some of the more serious runners. Oh my God. Yeah. The other thing that we really need to talk about was it chaos when being in London for everybody's alarm thing going off?
Actually.
Or was it okay?
No. So I was one of the people that didn't come through for me.
Oh no. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Just letting you know, we're in an emergency alert period. This is for any international listeners. This is so random, but we had a emergency alarm test thing. I think a lot of in a lot of other places, like in Canada and the US and stuff, they've already got systems set up for that that are quite often used for things like tornadoes or like earthquakes or hurricanes, or I think sometimes missing people, it will like just go off to the people in that area or something so they can keep an eye or something like that. Mm. But we haven't got anything like that in the UK because I don't know, I guess we just always think everything's going to be awful and it's no surprises when it is. But the government have been working on setting one up, and I did see that some, and it all went off at everybody's phone then, supposedly, though Esther's not, went off at 3 p.m. on Sunday. And my first thought when I saw that was, I was like, that's going to be during the London Marathon, and there will almost definitely be a lot of people still running there.
At 3 p.m. So I'd finished by then, and I was chatting to my dad, and at the time that it would have gone off, I was getting changed. So there was a little changing room. So I was getting changed into a kind of a non-drenched top and stuff. And went to go and see my dad afterwards, realized it had just gone 3 o'clock. And I went, oh, did you get that alarm thing? Because it didn't go off on my phone. And he said, what was that all about then? And it's like, what have you not read? He hadn't been aware of it.
It was everywhere, wasn't it? But it was also, it must have been completely terrifying if you didn't know what it was, because the alarm noise that it made was really freaky. It wasn't quite like a sort of, what do you call those sort of sirens that you'd have if you needed to go into the bomb shelter or something?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't quite like that, but an air raid siren. It wasn't quite that bad, but it was like, it was like an aggressive alarm. And then it comes up with a thing saying severe alert. And then underneath, when you read on, it was like, this is a test, but we're establishing this thing to send everybody a severe alert warning.
Yeah.
I think that must have been really scary if you didn't know.
I think, lots of runners. And I wonder if it would have come through on people's like headphones and stuff if they were running. Or
I think it must have done. And surely it came up on people's garments just saying severe alert.
Probably,
And you would have thought, I'm about to have a heart attack.
Yeah,
if you were us.
And then if you were like if you're running and it's your Garmin and everything, you'd be like, has that fucked up my Garmin or my Strava or my, you know, what's it done? Because you suddenly,
and how do you clear it?
It was
dramatic. But you were one of the people that it didn't reach.
Yes, because I'm on 3, so it didn't come through to me.
There we go. It came through to me while I was, because I'd done some of the coverage of the Elite News stuff that was going on in the morning. And so I was having a late lunch when all the marathon stuff had main marathon coverage had kind of finished. So I was cooking. It was right when we were making a sort of brunchy thing. They're more like Brinner.
Yeah, what is that?
At that stage.
Lupper
at that stage, yeah. and it was one of those things where we had like, you know, mushrooms in a pan, something into roast in the oven, blah, blah, blah. And a bit like, it always makes me feel like Ross from Friends, where he's trying to have that dinner party where he's like, I'm fine. But like everything's going off at the same time. And so I had kind of multiple timers going off, and then that happened. And I was like, oh, what the fuck is that now? I've just taken the tomatoes out. And then I realized it was the emergency alarm.
It was the end of the world.
Yeah. It was the end of the world. Oh, dear.
What now? For fuck's sake.
Yeah, I really feel like I would rather, I mean, I think it's definitely useful, I suppose, that they're telling us you know, and a hurricane is incoming or something, so that we can, do whatever you huddle.
Scream. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't want to know if a nuclear missile is going to strike me.
Yeah.
I don't want to know. And that's surely alerting everybody to that fact a few minutes before is only just going to create total chaos for everybody's last few minutes on Earth.
Yeah. I know it is. It's horrible, isn't it? Because all the Putin stuff. And I know this is really not talking about running, but
But let's talk about nuclear warfare.
But having lived through, particularly the 80s, my parents were both big into CND, and there was, you know, we went on lots of demonstrations and lots of marches and things, and it was a time for me, and it was when there was a leaflet that was put through our doors called Protect and Survive or something like that. And it was what to do in the event of a nuclear war.
Oh, no,
because the Cold War was really kicking off at that stage. And it was, you know, there was Greenham Common, there was Molesworth, there was all this stuff. The nuclear thing, there was also Sellafield, except it wasn't called Sellafield, it was called something else before then. There had been a bit of a kind of a smaller version of what was the Russian one called? What was the Russian disaster called?
Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a smaller, there was a sort of a crack in it or whatever. And then they had to, part of the marketing team behind that, when they kind of covered it up with some plaster and stuff, is they just renamed that nuclear place to Sellafield. Oh, nice.
Chernobyl really missed a trick there, didn't they? I'm sure it would have all been fine if they'd have just called it something else.
just called it Milton Keynes and it'd be fine. Yeah. But during that time, there was also, have you ever read I've got no words today, have I? What's that cartoon book by the guy that wrote the Father Christmas books? I'm not getting anywhere here, am I?
No, I'm not sure who wrote the Father Christmas
books. Is it Where the Wind Blows? Or Where the Wind Blows?
No. Haven't read that.
It's Raymond Briggs. When the Wind Blows. And no, you really fucking don't. So no. That used to be something that me and my brother read, and it was about a really lovely older couple, and there's basically there's a nuclear bomb hits, and it's kind of, they've had all the leaflets and they've been that down the library and they've got all the information, and he knows what to do, and he's kind of, it's about the futility of what to do in that event,
because what are you
gonna
do?
They both die in the end, and it's so bleak. But me and my brother were terrified. As many kids were, as many grown-ups were at that time, because you just thought it was all going to be kicking off.
I had really bad anxiety, like I hadn't had since I first got the kind of panic disorder stuff in 2021. And when Putin invaded Ukraine, I know that there was nothing to suggest immediately that there was going to be a nuclear incident, but for some reason I just like was lying awake at night thinking about it and imagining it. And I think it's because it's so out of our control that it just feels like there's nothing. What am I going to go? Oh, Putin. Oh, please don't. Oh, yeah. I've got the finale of Drag Race to watch tomorrow or whatever. What's he going to say to that? So I think because it feels very out of our control. Anyway,
yeah, absolutely.
Should we
have gone down this path? It's made me feel even worse. Oh, it's so bleak, isn't it?
Let's rejoice at the futility of life.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including behind-the-scenes newsletters, free access to monthly live chats, and you can join our Pod Squad chat room too. For just £6 a month, you can listen to bonus podcasts as well. Go to Patreon, that's patreon.com/womensrunning, to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The editor and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.